I'm doing. And I want to welcome everyone. Shana Tova, that's most important. I hope everyone had a relaxing and rejuvenating weekend. You know, we've had a very long, hard 7 months. And so it's nice to be able to have time to reflect and relax for a bit before the new year started. Okay. So, for those of you who don't know me, I'm the Chief Program Officer, Lisa. With me, Lisa Lorraine Smith. With me, I have Jen Glazer, who is the co-chair of the Emergency Financial and Case Management Affinity Group. Thank you, Jen, for coming on and representing. And this pop-up discussion really came out of a different conversations that we've had in both Holocaust Survivors Services Professionals Affinity Group and the Emergency Professionals Affinity Group. And we thought that it would be a really good idea if different agencies who are working in different databases could just talk to us about the good, the bad, the ugly, what it's like to use this database, what really works, what doesn't, what do they think, just so we can all have different ideas. And I guess you guys ask questions. I mean, it's really for you. We chose the ones that most people said they had, which was Evolve, Avatar, Credible, and Welligent. So, Evolve, do you want to go first? We said around 10 minutes.
Sure.
Okay.
Missy Lewin, I see you are on the call, so I'm going to ask Missy to jump in if she has anything to add to what I'm saying. So Evolve is a program that's an electronic health record program, and we've been using it since 2014. We do not have the most up-to-date version of it, so I'm just going to say that right up front. There is a more up-to-date version that I think we're looking at trying to update to sometime later this year. I guess what I would say about it is it works. I talked with our IT just to get their impression of it. The company that we purchased it from and that supports us is called NetSmart. And that was for a long time, I think we felt like we weren't getting supported well with it. I think that's changed. Now we have all new IT people, and they seem to have new people, and that seems to be working better. We have, and whether that's because we've decided to spring for some extra support or not, I really couldn't tell you. One of the things that I think my team feels, so this is geriatric care management, and we are the same team that works with the Holocaust survivors. So our survivor services is integrated with our care management services. I think one of the things we would say is that it's really intended for behavioral health services. It's, you know, if you are doing that kind of service, you can step into this program and just sort of run with it. It's got pretty much what you would need. With care management, it's very different. We can and have been able to build our own assessment into it and our own what we call care plan, which would be a treatment plan in Evolve terminology. We've been able to do that. And, you know, we have our notes and we have our demographics and we have, you know, all the information attendant to the client file in there. And we can get reports. So it's kind of all there. But what we find with care management is that we work with so many different areas and so many different programs within the within Jewish Family Service that it does not really work as well as we would like to see it work. We're in and out of multiple programs instead of one. I mean, it's one chart, but that client could have four or five different programs that a care manager is working with, and that's just really confusing. And we've had to set it up that way because it was the only way that we could get demographic information. It was the only way, and not demographics, but stats. If we really wanted to pull how many clients are getting the service, that was like the only way we could do it was to set up, you know, Missy can tell you, we've got a Meals on Wheels program. She's got that she coordinates. She's our supervisor. She's got an assistive technology program. We've got indemnification separate. We've got all these different things that are separate, and benefit access is separate. Everything is separate. Geriatric care management has everything it needs in there, but all these other programs that we work with, we've had to customize it. We do our financial assistance in there, and I know that's a big thing for a lot of people. And that seems to actually one of the things that works fairly well. We have created different screens for our gift card distribution and for check requests, and we're able to upload our documentation right into those screens. So that's a nice thing. The reports seem to be, we've kind of been working on cleaning them up. But the report that we can pull from that is easy to work with. So that's one thing that actually has worked fairly well. Trying to think, home care. We do our behavioral health billing from there. We were doing home care through there. It was very confusing. We have since separated out our claims conference and do that through Diamond only, because it was creating a lot of confusion between their system and our system, which is still kind of there.
Lisa, hold on for one second. So you've said a lot so far. Yeah. I don't know if anyone has questions around this. I think, Jen, you said you had a question.
I had just a couple, but we have evolved as well, but okay. I'm not in a position to speak the same way. But my question was, how many people are in your agency, and how did training work? And how does ongoing training work to make sure everyone's using it correctly?
Okay, so that's where one of the issues actually is. We have, our agency, we probably have 120 or so, and I'm missing, if my guess is totally off, I would say probably about 80, 75 or 80 are using Evolve in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. When we first switched, we actually had Avatar before, which I think somebody's actually talking about today, and switched to Evolve. We had these super users that were given this special 40-hour training or something like that within each department. I'm not sure quite what happened with that. Missy, do you remember how we sort of got away from that? But I think we got away from it because a lot of people who were super users left, or they left that position and they went to a different program that wasn't using Evolve. Missy, is that what you remember?
I do, and I think what happened was that then we started adding all these new things, and it had nothing to do with what that super user was trained in. And so it started to then be the responsibility of like the departments to figure out what they needed for the program. So I think as the program evolved and we got to learn more about it, it really, the super user kind of, and yes, some people left. And so who was that super user going to, we weren't training new super users.
But isn't Evolve the kind of database that you can really personalize and make it your own in some way, your agency's own, and put in what you want to discover? Or is that not what Evolve?
Not really. I mean, we can customize. There are certain screens that can be customized and others that cannot. And we were able to build in screens. So for instance, all the financial assistance that we just talked about was totally something we built into it. It works with some things. It hasn't worked with others that we've attempted to do. And I think that's part of why it's for case management, for care management, it's not been working as well as it could work because of that. And we also found that because we customized so much, that when we're having problems and NetSmart came in to try to evaluate and try to see what they could do, they said, you've changed this so much that we can't even tell you what to do. Because it was completely different than their system at that point. So that wasn't a really good thing because we had no support. So yeah, it's okay. As I said, that part's better because we have no new staff on both sides, and I think they figured out a way to work through that problem.
Right.
So when something new happens, Risa, the Evolve, do you bring all those 75 staff together? Do you just bring the managers together to train?
Yeah, the supervisors are basically responsible for training. Mm-hmm. So we tried a couple different things. We tried having one person be responsible for training. So after we got away from the super users, we tried that. Because all the programs are using it differently, the care plans are different from the treatment plans. Family Support Services uses it differently than we do. They're the family case managers, if you will, versus the geriatric. Mm-hmm. So because everybody was using it, Haviva, you can also jump in. I see you're on the call. Because we were all using it differently, there are certain things that are that can be trained across the board. So you can be trained to look up a client. You can be trained to add demographic information. You can be trained to add the collateral. So all the emergency contacts and people for whom you have releases, those things are the same across the board. But once you got beyond that,
right,
it needed to be somebody who was familiar with the program and how, and the work that we do, how the assessments are done and how the care plans are done. And so there are some things that can be standardized. We've standardized notes in some ways by doing some templates and things like that. But a lot of the training, unfortunately, falls to the new, to the supervisor of the new staff. And I think that's sort of where we are right now. Haviva and Missy, do you see that any different than that? Nope.
Okay. Does anyone have any other questions for this? Because we can hear some other ones. Or you can write privately to either Risa, Haviva, Missy. I think that's who's on the call, right?
I think so.
Anyone have any burning questions they need to be answered right now? Okay. No? Okay, so let's now go to, who are we going to now? Jan, you want to go to Avatar?
Sure.
Okay, who is here from Avatar to talk with us? Is Maureen?
No. Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah.
We use Avatar. I don't know if Alyssa is she here.
I don't see her.
Yeah, it doesn't look like her.
Okay.
Avatar is from NetSmart as well. I thought that was interesting. I didn't know Evol was. And it was, Avatar was set up primarily, we've had it about 10 years now,
yeah,
a little longer. It was set up primarily for counseling and therapy. And it started out pretty basic with a place to keep your notes per session, closings, assessments, pretty simple things that are a regular part of a scheduled therapeutic input, like there's a timeline of when you need to finish each assessment, when you need to do an IM CANS or any number of other forms. But we're just now introducing doing those forms in Avatar. It used to have to be done by hand. You just knew it had to be done, and then you had to make a note in Avatar that you had done it. We bought it off the shelf and then built units. From what I can tell, as things developed, they continue to add units, but NetSmart did the building. We did not build. What our IT does is create reports and pull data depending on who's asking for a regular report. We have our pre-admits. So they've been talked to, information's been gathered, and they're waiting to be seen. And then we have episodes. Once you're seen, you become a regular episode client. With the financial work that I do, I see people, right now I'm seeing literally hundreds of people.
Is that you? Is that your phone?
Nope. I've seen literally, our program has seen 438 people in since May. So it's pretty quick open and add them to the schedule. So we know we've had an appointment once they're open by adding them to our schedule. And that then it goes back to billing for financial. We don't bill for our clients. So it goes into billing, but then it gets zeroed out. When we provide financial assistance, it goes into the ledger. There is a ledger for clients and a code for what kind of assistance, whether it was rent or utilities or any number of other things. But right now we cannot upload any files like our check requests. We can't do them in Avatar and we can't upload what we have done, whether it's in Word or Excel.
Why?
Well, it's mainly because I think we haven't, we were until April, a small part of the counseling centers. We grew out of the counseling centers, the therapists wanting to have, give a little money to clients while they were working with them. And then the program grew from there to actually having its own, to being defined as a separate program and its own certification and its own funding, but they haven't changed Avatar to integrate what financial could use. They're keeping it pretty much therapy based. All the JCFS programs, we have a jobs program and it uses the pre-admit and then the full episode and the notes, but that's about it. We have case closings. So it's a lot of writing stuff, a lot of stuff that has to do with the case, but it is otherwise, and it's easy to use. Avatar is pretty easy to use. It's pretty self-explanatory. Anytime someone is hired, they have in their orientation, they have a session training them how to use basic Avatar that therapists need. And we've actually had some issues now where we're expanding in terms of programs at JCFS that use it. So our pediatric programs, our psych evals, all of those are going into Avatar, but they're not, it's not, it doesn't have defined screens that are specifically useful for each of those programs. It could, but there would need to be an investment in having that built with NetSmart. So I think the first investment, the major investment being made is to catch our therapists or our counseling centered part of the program to catch it up. So we can integrate, we now bill Medicaid, which wasn't done before. So, and Medicaid has all kinds of kind of bizarre requirements and reports and what they need in the notes. So it's all being restructured around those needs, around the Medicaid needs, around getting the forms, the different assessment forms used in Avatar so they can be done in Avatar. So none of the extra work has been really for financial. So we do notes, we take notes, we close cases. When we do provide assistance, it goes into the client's ledger. But so it's for my program, it's pretty basic what we can do.
You had a question, Jen?
Yeah, quick question, Maureen. So it sounded like with RISA, with Evolve, it's all through JFS Detroit. It sounds like with Avatar for yours, it's a program base, but it's not all of Chicago. Are you at Chicago JFS or JFCS?
JCFS Chicago, yeah. Which is it is an umbrella program now. It has evolved, and in over the last before my time, there was JCB, JFCS. So it's evolved where programs are slowly coming together and getting redefined. And most recently, 2 years ago, we combined with JVS, our vocational services. Amen. So they're all Virginia Frank's always been part of JCFS, but it's never been like that reporting part. We also have foster program that, so everyone uses the very most, all of those programs use the most basic opening and a pre-admit, open an episode, write your notes, and how much do you charge for session? You know, if they come to a session, that goes in, what their discount is or what their insurance is billed goes in.
Did you pull up a person and see, like, with that one thing, if they've gone to all these different services, or can you only look at your own?
Good question. We can see, usually, if we have a client open, I can see if they had been a JVS client or a Virginia Frank client. The caveat being, a lot of the programs didn't start using Avatar, except for a couple of years ago. Therapy counseling started back when they introduced Avatar, but other programs are just slowly beginning to utilize it.
I have a question. Hold on, Maureen. Does anyone else here use Avatar on this screen? Okay.
No.
Someone else might have had a different experience that I was going to see what, you know, their experiences were.
You know, I have to say, like I said, though, it's pretty user and easy.
Yeah.
You can poke around a lot. You can write specific reports. You can write a report that tells you how many pre-admits at what during the month or what time. You can write reports about money, how many get rent in a fiscal year. But it, other than that, it's really just a recording tool, and we can see in the ledger, but it could be more. We're just not doing it for financial. It is definitely being developed to a higher degree for, I just cannot believe we can't upload files. If I have a file, but we can't. And the other issue, I think, with Avatar in my mind is that it's still based on Java and on an old version of Java. So you have to use an older version of Internet Explorer and an older version of Java to be able to use it. You can't update to the most current because NetSmart hasn't kept up with the changes.
I think we're learning that a lot depends. Thank you so much, Maureen. I think we're learning a lot also depends on who you're working with. So we have two more presentations. We have Credible and we have, what's the other one, Lisa?
Credible and Welligent.
Welligent. So maybe Credible next. I think we, is Adele from Houston on?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
Adele, so, there's another one also who
yes, I'm going to introduce Laura Alter. She's manager of our employment services. And when this call came about, she, as many of us do, wears several hats. And so one of her hats is really managing Credible for the agency and the various departments. So I really felt like she could speak better overall to everything that we're addressing. I'm a financial stability case manager, so if there are any specific questions related to that, I'm happy to answer those.
Thank you.
So I'm turning it over to Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
Hi. So yes, we've had Credible since 2012, and we use it for our notes the same way everyone else is, and we have been able to use it for different departments. So we have counseling, case management, employment are the primary users. And we make forms and create forms that go with each of those departments. We use it for financial aid. We're able to upload documents into the client's file.
Bummer, Maureen.
What?
I said bummer, Maureen, because that's the one thing she's upset about.
Okay. It is a bummer.
Right. So we can upload. The downside of it, though, is when you upload a document, you're not able to get any information out of it unless you put it into a form or into their profile. So you can have all this information, but you have to somehow get it into the Credible database. It can't just be an upload. So it's good documentation. Like for case management, they need to have a copy of an apartment lease.
Right. Exactly.
But in order to get to pay the financial aid, you have to now type the information off the apartment lease. Mm-hmm. It can't be scanned or anything like that. So we can do reports. The one thing that I have learned over the past several years is figure out what you want to report on when you're creating the forms and you're creating the system, because you don't want to get to the end of the year and you haven't collected that data, because then it's dependent upon the numbers. It's either impossible to get it, or you have to go and you're standing there and you're counting one by one by hand. So you want to know, and that's where you have to talk to each department. What do you think your grant is going to want? What are your metrics? What are you liable for to know about? And if you know that going in, then you can make sure the data is collected and collected in a way that you can then manipulate it. So when we do a report, there's some manipulation in the report, but really we end up downloading it to Excel, and then we can manipulate it through Excel and come up with lots of different metrics. And we're getting ready in probably beginning of 2021 to introduce the client portal, which we have not been using. And I'm learning about that now and how we're going to be able to have people see different information and maybe at some point schedule an appointment, pay a bill. There's a lot of things you can do the same way that we're using client or patient portals. We can do similar things with that with Credible. It does have a financial piece where you can, for insurance, we put all the insurance in. We're not using all the financial part right now based on what our financial department wanted to do as far as paying, keeping track of payments and things like that, but it can do that. And it too, as the others, is more of a for clinical. So it's called a treatment plan, where we maybe call it a case plan or a service plan. I call mine, I don't want to call it a treatment plan in employment, so I call it a service plan of what we're going to do. And you can have templates. It can get really pretty involved. It handles all the medication. When we had a psychiatrist, he was able to do some of the medication filling on through Credible automatically. So it can do that. We don't have beds or things like that, but for places that do, it can be good for places that have the residents, and they have, and it also has different programs where you put people in programs, you can put people on teams, and you can have protection so people, you can only see what you need to see. And it also has the super user. So like I'm an admin, and so I pretty much can see everything and make changes, where you have your, then you have your managers who can see a little bit less, and then you have your workers who see what they need to see. Mm-hmm. And it protects the clients, and we're able to tell clients it's very HIPAA compliant for, like we work with our state, the Texas workforce, and they require our database to be HIPAA compliant. Mm-hmm. So it counts for all that. They give us, there is some support in the beginning, you put it in, you have more support, and now you submit a task ticket, and depending upon what you need, how quickly they get back. For the most part, I think it's been pretty good and haven't had a lot of complaints. I think the company just sold or merged with someone else, so we'll see if there's any changes to that and to their service. But they do have a billing section, and their training is, like, you can go to a billing training, you can go to clinical training, you can go how to write forms training. So they have at their conference, they have all this different training depending upon what section you're in.
So you think it's a pretty good database?
Yeah, I mean, from what other databases I've worked in other places, I think from what we had before, it's fantastic. What we had before was awful. So this is much better. It's nice. You know, what we had before, you had to remote in. You couldn't, it wasn't even an internet base. So if you couldn't remote in, if something went down, you basically couldn't even see your schedule. This, you can, there's mobile apps. So if something's wrong with one area, you can still get into it. Every once in a while it goes down. They were having some problems, but they expanded all their their stuff on their side that and seems to be cleared up. But like I said, the biggest thing I've learned is know what you want to get out of it. When you design the forms and what's going in, you can get that back out in a report that you can then manipulate and give you the numbers so you're not sitting there trying to count and that you have confidence that that the report is correct.
Right. Janice from Cleveland also uses Credible, correct? And yeah, you're muted. You can unmute for a sec or unmute.
Yeah.
Did you, because maybe you have something to add to what Laura said, confirm, say something different, just so we get a sense from two agencies what's happening with Credible.
So ours began as a mental health program, similar to what Risa was saying, the way theirs did. And we've been very pleased with Credible. And I came in after it had been in place about 2 years. I came in the private sector, so I had a low threshold for in-app systems, and I found it a very smooth transition. I also happen to really like that, especially now with remote work, I can go in through Google and type into Credible right off Google. I don't have to go in remote through our servers to do it. So let's say I need a client phone number and the remote is just causing problems. I can go in, boom, and I can get it. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. We do too.
Yeah.
You can do it. I can do it. If I'm out looking for an employee for employment, I can pull Credible up on my phone and find the client's phone number and the record and say, you know, where are you? You know, we're meeting at an employer and they're not there. And check a schedule, and it's just so much easier.
It is so smooth. And we do, similar to Laura, we have a person who oversees that interface with Credible, our IT specialist, who creates those specialized forms as you talked about, and would say the exact same thing, that make sure you know what you want up front. Ours does all of our billing across the agency. Now, when it comes to financial assistance, though, that is still separated. There is an Excel spreadsheet that the financial assistance is actually put on, and all of the underlying documentation, like the check request, is uploaded into Credible.
Mm-hmm. So you put that all in Credible?
That's all in Credible. So if you want to know how much has gone out for financial assistance dollars, that is... that's an Excel spreadsheet that originates from finance and we tap into as a check and balance to make sure it's in both places. But we, the frontline, are responsible for it being in the Credible file.
Got it.
We did a financial aid on in Credible, and we produce a financial aid request. Now it's virtual and it just goes through the process. And you can sign all this stuff online if you have the signature pad, and you can make it where people, everything is signed. It can almost all be virtual going through. And they have multi-level approvals. So if you need your financial aid or any of your services to receive multi-level approvals, you choose that when you're setting up the service, and it can't go through until certain levels approve it.
Interesting. Our finance has a different... So there was one question, do you have access to workers' schedules on Credible? That's from Tatiana. Yes.
There is an employee or a staff section. We don't use it. We have a payroll company that we use, but you can do attendance, you can do time off. There is a staff section. The only thing we really do is keep the employees who use Credible information on Credible demographics, but we're not using most of the staff stuff. But you can keep time, travel time. There's a lot of things, and you can put work schedules, so you can, and it highlights the calendar. So for people who are working different hours, then you can look at the calendar and see when they're really there and when they're not there. And it doesn't let you, on certain things, you can't double book. So if you block your calendar, then and you try to book something, they'll come back and say you're booked. Or if you try to book, if someone, you and someone else tries to book a client at the same time and they're both going to be supposed to be paid, it comes back and says two people are going to have to see this client at one time for two different services, and that's not possible.
So it sounds like, and we have, I know Lisa, we have to end this call at 10 of.
That's a new thing that NJHSA is trying to do, to give everyone 10 minutes between the next Zoom call so you can go to the bathroom or whatever it is you need to do.
In the new right, and for me, it's 12 something. So thank you so much. It sounds like people are pretty happy with Credible. So the next one that we're going to hear from is Welligent. Is that how you pronounce it? From Rami and Howard.
It's Rami Spiegel.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right. You probably weren't even expecting a female on this call. I'm used to it.
True. It's true.
It's Rami Spiegel. Yeah. I'm the Assistant Director of the Holocaust Assistance Program and the Interim Welligent Administrator, per se. So we've been using Welligent since around 2015. We started building it out, and originally it started with the Holocaust Department, which it works beautifully for the Holocaust Department. The other, because from beginning to end, because of the structure of the claims conference, we know exactly how the workflow goes, exactly what the forms are, et cetera. So we had a very concrete plan of when we were building out our assessment and all of this. The other departments didn't have as much of a plan. But in terms of Welligent, it's the only EHR that we've used at our agency. And it definitely has its challenges, but it, as I said, I work on the bigger picture of it and specifically in the Holocaust Department, so I'm happy with it. I take it personally when other people in my agency start getting mad at Welligent. It's not their fault. Their workflow as well. And we've had a lot of changeover. We're going through CARF accreditation now. So there's a lot of things that are coming into play that, as Laura was saying, if you know what you need from the beginning, you can build it out. If you're trying to fix what was built originally, it's a little bit harder. So we're playing a lot of catch up. Also, when we originally did the upload, there were a lot of things that were left blank that we weren't necessarily capturing in the initial file that was uploaded. So like demographics in terms of race and ethnicity, veterans, et cetera, all these things that we need to come into now. And so if they were an existing client, they got their information got put up with all of that missing. If their clinician or care manager has not gone onto those pages and filled that in as requested over the past 6 years, that data is not going to be there when now we add additional things to reports and they're still blank. So it's not necessary.
How do you train on those kind of things? How do you do that as an agency, and how big are you guys?
Well, our staff using it, we have about 30 to 40, because it goes from our call center, from the original call. Every call that comes into our agency automatically gets put into Welligent. So specifically for the financial assistance program, they work out of the call center until the care manager or the care associate receives the application and the backup documentation. Once they receive all of that, then they convert that client that they've been marking all the transactions back and forth, all the follow-up, leaving messages, sent out the stuff, et cetera, all in the call center. Mm-hmm. So once they receive their stuff, then they, I'll answer that call. I have stuff about the claims conference. But so then they, once they get all the backup, then they convert them to a client, complete the check request, which is a PDF that I've set up, and see that because we use PDFs and we make our own forms, especially for the claims conference, because we use the forms from the allocation letter, which have to be with the application number, et cetera, it's easier to use a PDF. So we're stuck still using Explorer 11 if you're using a PDF, because PDF Reader does not work in Edge, or which is a big problem.
There's always something, right? There's always
right, exactly. And then everyone has to be on Windows 10, so it's still now we had to upgrade everyone's computers, which we had thankfully done before the pandemic. So everyone's on Windows 10 in order to maintain Windows 11. I mean, when you know Explorer 11 being HIPAA compliant. So, but if you're not using the PDFs, which the BHAB department, they were not happy with the built-in treatment plan because it's very complex. But I think if because there's a new director in, if she saw it, but she wanted her own. So we made it into a PDF. So, and then it populates like the client, the Welligent ID number, the client's name, any address, et cetera. And you can put in certain locks, make in the file, in the PDF, that you can't save the document or sign off on it unless something's filled out specific. So like in the check requests, I made a check request where it would populate the name of the client, their client ID and their address, and then everything would be filled in for the financial assistance. Wow. Upload their backup into the client record. There's two places in Welligent. There's a record navigator, which is the public domain, where public stuff is, every appointment the client's ever had in any department. Okay. We like that because our clients are in different programs. So if you have a Holocaust survivor who's also receiving food from the cupboard and therapy in BHAB, we can see that they're in both of those, all three of those.
Can you run a report like that that says, you know, clients who come to our agency receive an average of two services from the agency?
Well, we don't have that report built out, but for instance, like for the cupboard, which is our food pantry, we did make a special report that showed if they were enrolled in our domestic abuse program, and then also a column if they were actively enrolled in the Holocaust program. So if they were in the DA program, they knew they'd be able to serve them twice a month because they were receiving services from that. So a lot of the custom reports. With the beauty of the PDF forms, you can actually make an ad hoc report. So like for instance, we have our menu for the cupboard and how we track the expenses that get billed in the Holocaust department is all in Russian and English. A staff person fills it out, but I created a report showing how much each client was with the back end of the price of the items of what they got. So I have a bill to submit to the claims conference and they fill it out. So they have their menu and you just hit like add and you can change a few items and the dates, etc. There's different things. Every note, the one good thing about Welligent, as most everyone else was talking, all of the appointments are based, every note is based on an appointment. So it's under the service. So you can run a service rendered report and find out how many times the client was called and you use primary actions. So we have different, especially with COVID, we put in a wellness check that we are doing for all across the board. If we knew someone was diagnosed with COVID, those calls and notes were happening more frequently. So I could see how many wellness checks we did throughout a month, the period of time, or just a regular phone visit, COVID-19 phone visit instead of a home visit. So those are custom.
Can you use a database to tell you to do a visit? Can you do it in the reverse?
Can set up reminders, those type of things. Like what Houston was saying, there's a client portal that we're looking to do, especially because the quick to switch to telehealth for our behavioral health, we were using DocuSign. We switched quickly through DocuSign. Now, DocuSign, you can have fancy forms, but they get those forms back, and then now we're uploading them to Welligent, right? So now we're learning. There's been a lot of changes with our agency recently. So my goal is to push for a database administrator who could help data mine and do all really pulling. We have an outsource for our hardware. And one of the downfalls that we've experienced is Welligent hasn't been someone's main job. So we're still, most of the people are still in a training role. So they can see everything except the BHAB stuff. They have a profile. But now it's been requested, for instance, that only if you were a BHAB intern, for instance, to have under your profile, it's been requested that you can only search and only have access to seeing your clients. Uh-huh. Doesn't help when you have most of the databases have global searches and you don't close a person in the database, you only close them and discharge them from a program.
Yeah.
So then we're not having multiple files open for the same client. Big downfall for us is human error. that's across the board. I mean, that's what I say. They're not checking, like for instance, even the questions. So someone calls the cupboard and the question is, have you ever been here before? Well, that person doesn't realize the cupboard is actually part of JFS. So they say no. So they go start to put in Mike Greenberg, but with the same birthday, but there's Michael Greenberg, who's been served by our financial assistance for years, and he has an open file and he's getting therapy. So now you have duplicate records for the same person.
So Rami, I think that is across the board in any database.
And, right, and,
and that's what Jen was saying, I think in the beginning, training or whatever is so important is. And, you know, writing it the same way, whatever, you know.
Exactly. So the way we do the training, so since I've been, the person who was in charge of the Holocaust Department was the one who developed it for our department. When she left, I pushed, inserted myself into the ID department and said, I must learn how to put up forms and learn everything. I cannot have not a connection. Our department was way too big, you know, and documentation's everything for our Holocaust Department. So I learned, and that's how I now am able to do the forms quickly, you know, when the new forms come for the claims conference, and I set everything up and I just kind of took over. But again, I truly believe that depending on the size of your agency and what the role is, and it is all about knowing what you want to report, understanding, and I've learned a lot, and with an IT person and myself understanding the workflow, working together to help create some reports, understanding that what you put in, if you have different people joining your agency and you have different locations, that you have to search all organizations. You can't just search like under one place where your that main program is for that person. And helping people to understand when it comes to reporting, this is the biggest thing, that the more questions you ask, the less information you're gonna get. So that's why all of these place, all of these databases have so many stock reports.
Yeah.
And the being able to know your people in your program. So somebody just can't be pulling reports because you could get 516 in three different reports, but the 516 names are not going to be the same and not for the same dates. But you have, you, I don't know if anyone else has that issue.
I think we've just scratched the surface on this topic. Like that's my impression as that people, thank you all so much for coming prepared to share on your databases. I think this evolved quickly with a lot of back and forth on email. And I don't know if Lisa wants to close us out, but we could have conversations about training and other things, because I think it sounds like we all, different database, but similar struggles in a lot of different ways.
So what I was going to say, it sounds like, you know, what's most important, and I don't know, I didn't poll everyone, you know, how many people have a database, how many people are happy with their database, but it sounds like people could really benefit from trying to figure out if they're starting a database, what do they want to collect? Because you can really learn from everyone's, you know, mistakes, right? So you realize potentially Laura or Rami or Maureen or Adele that you needed to collect something that you didn't have. So experience really goes a long way. But how many of you, I can't see everyone's faces, but those that I can see, how many of you are looking to purchase a database at your agency? Or how many of you have a database in your agency that you're happy with? Okay, we have Mary's happy with it. So it's interesting.
Well, in Montreal, we're developing a new one. We're in progress of testing a new software that we're building on our own, based on trial, error, human error, trying to, you know, put things in place to limit human error, like you said about the names of the client, Mike or Michael. So yeah. We have to say when you start typing the name, it'll sort of pop up like a whole bunch of MI, you know, K or addresses. It would link the address and it would sort of say, oh, this one already exists.
That's good.
The volume and the number of items you have to monitor and watch for is so huge that, you know, I don't think there's a perfect software anywhere out there. You just have to kind of modify it as much as you can to your needs if you are able to build your own.
Right.
And also the partnership, it's really, I'm hearing, between IT and whoever's leading the charge elsewhere within the agency to collaborate and train. It's
exactly.
An undertaking, and someone with positivity about it. I really appreciate it. It's not the database's fault.
So, We have to leave in a minute, but NJHSA just purchased a new database, which you all will be experiencing probably the next time, if we could get it, if I could get everyone's names in, you know, as best I can, in order to send the email out through the, so you will register through this NEON database. So I, in the invitation, I say, make sure you write it correctly, because if you write Laura, L-A-R-A, I'm going to have two Laura Alters, right? It's L-A-U-R-A and L-A-R-A, and that's just the way it is. It's human error. But we do have what you just said, Nancy, which is, if there's a Deborah and a Deb and the last name's the same, they'll say, do you want to, we already have, this is the same person from the same agency. So that's intuitive and smart, and thank goodness, because, you know, it happens all the time. Yeah. But I hear everyone's pain. It's not easy working with databases, figuring out exactly what you need and getting it up and running.
Can I just say one thing? The one thing I have found from the beginning of when we went from Welligent to now and how I do training, the original was all text. I now make everything with screenshots, arrows, and circles so they could see and write out shorter steps, which I found. I didn't write the original training materials, but when I do new things or put in a new form for a new department, I do everything with screenshots, and it makes it much easier. And so keeping that in mind for training, because it really does make a difference, so you know exactly where it is.
I want to thank Lisa for throwing this together so quickly, and we will try to support you in your database. We will try to spell our name the same way every time.
Thank you. And if anyone wants to continue the conversation in any way, email me, let me know, and maybe we can connect you with the person that you're interested in, or maybe we can just do something more specific. Just let us know. Okay, we're here for you. That's what I think.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all for participating. Okay, and for sharing. Bye.
Thank you.
If I can find the end. Okay.